Welcome to the Road to Black podcast, brought to you by the BJJ Physio. The BJJ Physio helps optimize the training of jiu-jitsu athletes so they can dominate their next performance. How do they do this? They provide strength and conditioning, physical therapy, and heart rate-based conditioning through a completely remote and online management system, meaning you can be anywhere in the world and take your BJJ performance to the next level. Contact Dr. Wesley Reed at info@thebjjphysio.online or follow him at thebjjphysio on Instagram to find out more. Also brought to you by Roll Union Jiu-Jitsu. Visit rollunion.com and follow Roll Union on Instagram to shop the latest jiu-jitsu styles. Roll Union brings you the best fitting gis on the market, the most comfortable rash guards, and premium soft jiu-jitsu tees. Next time you're in the market for some new gear, check out rollunion.com for the stylish and the savage. Lastly, we're brought to you by downtoroll.com. Downtoroll.com was born out of the need for an innovative way to find BJJ training partners during the COVID-19 crisis. With gyms being shut down for many across the globe, you can register at downtoroll.com and find small group training partners in your area. You can message partners directly from the map and interact with other like-minded players on the Down to Roll exclusive network. Go to downtoroll.com and start training again now. Thanks for supporting our sponsors, and we hope you enjoy this episode of the Road to Black podcast. What's up, Wes?
What's up, man?
How are you?
No complaints. No complaints whatsoever.
Me neither. Having a warm, sunny day here in Arizona, 78, 79 degrees. So it's, I guess winter's over.
It's nice.
Winter might be over. That's how things go around here.
You had your couple weeks of,
pretty much. Yeah.
Chilly weather. And then
It seems the winters are shorter and shorter and the summers are longer and longer, you know, out here anyway. It's the way it seems to me. But I'm not complaining. I like the heat. So versus the cold.
I'm about sick of the cold, dude.
That's why I'm not living in Colorado.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah, I'm sick of the cold. So, well, dude, we have been fired up about this episode.
We're gonna discuss the fine film we went and watched.
The piece of art that is Born a Champion.
Yeah. For anyone that hasn't heard about this movie, jiu-jitsu related, jiu-jitsu based movie, Born a Champion. It's out now. You might want to go and take a listen, take a watch, check it out, rent it, and watch it, and then listen to this podcast.
Yeah, this is one giant spoiler. So if you are generally interested in the movie and you're upset that we're about to spoil it for you, just hit pause, go watch it, and then come back to this one.
It's a 2-hour gem
of a movie. It's a classic.
Instant classic. You know, next week or next time, we got to watch Jiu-Jitsu, the movie with Nick Cage.
Oh. It's gonna do work.
A thousand times. If Born a Champion was supposed to be the great jiu-jitsu movie out of the two.
Okay. Are you saying it's not?
I liked a couple parts a lot. But yeah. It's had a good premise, right? The storyline, it got cheesy, but it's a typical, basic, standard storyline. Washed up guy wants to get another chance.
We'll start big picture here. Here was, in terms of like the, when it comes to martial arts movies, okay? Like, the storyline is already written.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the storyline's already written. Just follow the script. Follow what works. Have it be just throw a lot of jiu-jitsu in there.
Yep.
You know? But no, he went completely off script. He went rogue.
And how did he go rogue? Tell me about it.
Okay, so let's think about every. We're pretty close to the same age. I'm sure there are a lot of listeners out there that can relate to these movies. Kickboxer.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodsport. Lionheart. Yep. Right?
Yeah.
What else do we got in that kind of genre? You throw Karate Kid in there.
What about Hard to Kill?
Hard to Kill. Right?
Mark okay, for so, Death.
So we've got like a handful of movies there, right?
80s, what's, early 90s
classics, martial art movies. Classics, yeah. Right? Okay. What do they all have in common? Okay. Martial arts. It's one of two things. Either a trainer or like a sensei gets hurt, like severely hurt, you know,
mm-hmm.
And he wants to avenge a loss or something like that. Or guy falls in love, girl gets kidnapped.
Oh, yeah.
And just like, you know, violently assaulted.
Yeah.
And he has to fight to get her back, right? So you've got like a couple different options there, storyline. It's already written. It's classic. Mm-hmm. Like, you know it's going to be good. Just make it jiu-jitsu specific. You know, just follow that. Follow that.
It upsets you so much that they didn't follow that.
It's just...
He tried to get cute.
He tried to get cute, and...
There was a lot to
this storyline. They were like three quarters of the way through the movie and they're still unveiling things about this character.
Yeah.
That it's like who the character's name, strong Irish name, Mickey Kelly.
Yep.
Mickey Kelly. He's an unbelievable human being, kind of down, but he's a Marine.
Mm-hmm.
Desert Storm veteran, apparently a killer, but never throws a punch.
Yeah.
So
they set it up with, they kind of show his backstory and he's kind of a tough guy, quiet guy. Wasn't there like a bar scene he had to intervene and typical stuff like that?
Well, that's where he met the narrator that comes in and out, right? Or something like that's
Taco.
Taco.
The racist, you know, nickname.
The racist nickname, the camera footage on it was just laughable. Like he just like took out these three guys. He just like hip tossed a guy, you know, neon belly and like cross choke or something, you know?
Yeah.
And
the thing with the narration, okay, so the movie's narrated. A lot of people, they'll do that because it's an easy way to explain timeline, right? Or explain the history of someone.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to like actually film and go through different scenes and show, you know, instead of them showing a part of Mickey's past, they have Taco just tell you about it real quick. It's like a cheap version, you know, but Taco is a terrible narrator, number one.
Okay? Yeah.
The whole character of him, like a mechanic, and he's best friends with this guy, yet he's never trained, also is kind of sus.
Yeah. Like,
this is your best friend in the whole world, and you've never, you know.
Taken Taco's, an interest.
No. Taco's never done any of that. But you know what Taco does, what I noticed? He likes to roll around in grease because... It was over the top. Like he would be talking and the whole shop is like, he's in his shop, but he's the only thing that's like greasy. And it's like under his, like, have you ever seen a mechanic? Have you ever went to a mechanic where actually like they're that dirty? Like, no, typically guys will take showers. This guy hadn't showered in a month. Taco had like grease under his earlobes. It was so fake and ridiculous. It's like, come on. We know he works in a garage. You don't have to smear dirt all over him, all over his face. Like he's just, but meanwhile, he never works on a car the entire movie.
I didn't think about that. No, I didn't see him work on a car a single second.
Maybe I missed some spots, but
the so narration,
yeah, it was terrible. I'm not, to me, that part put me off just because of it was done poorly. It was done poorly. It was real cheese.
It was not just real cheese, but I had a hard time. It was like we're trying to float between two or three different timelines all at one time. And I, like they didn't, the way that they filmed the movie.
It wasn't time specific.
It wasn't time specific. No. So I didn't actually get the feeling that I'm like in the time era. No,
why would you? When they were talking outside the garage, in the background was a 1999 Chevy pickup. And it was supposed to be like 1990.
Yeah.
You know? And then in a later scene, I saw like a 2000. There was like cars driving by there from the 2000s, and it's supposed to be in the early 90s of this guy's. Yeah. It's like, you couldn't have just gotten a few old cars together.
I know. I couldn't figure that piece of it out.
Yeah.
So
that whole movie was full of that. It was terrible in terms of like picking those little things out where it's just not authentic in terms of time. Yeah.
So they go through and they insert Mickey Kelly's story right next to the Hicks and Gracie, like Gracie Garage type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, and here was the other thing that was like, was this like a shout to like early ADCC stuff? I couldn't figure out, like they brought the Saudis in, they had like this fight. This ADCC? So
I think it was a shout out to the relationship they have with Abu Dhabi and Henzo, because Henzo's in the movie.
He's in the movie.
Henzo's in the movie, and Henzo is that connection to those people from back in the day, because Henzo was a big, I believe I'm correct in this, Henzo was one of the people that went over there very early on and was kind of pivotal in bringing jiu-jitsu to that area. So I think it was somewhat. Plus, this guy is from Henzo's lineage. The guy that's in the movie. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So he he trains under, I guess, Henzo directly. I think he got his black belt from Henzo, maybe. What's his name?
Sean Patrick Flannery?
Yeah.
Or exactly. Mickey Kelly. Both. Yeah,
him.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't remember his real name. That guy owns a school, by the way. Okay. So.
Have you looked it up?
Yeah.
It's like this really exclusive.
Is it?
Jiu-jitsu school, yeah.
No, it's called it on Instagram Hollywood? Or something.
Yeah, Hollywood BJJ. And I think they're in Houston. And it's like, you have to like apply.
Oh, really?
To train there. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you get to apply with a famous actor. And in one of the best movies ever made, Born a Champion.
Born a Champion.
before we get him anymore, I will say that this guy wrote this story and he made this movie. That is an incredible feat. As a creative, I really like, I can't knock that part, because that's a lot of work to put this together and do what he did and make a movie. I wanted it to be so great, you know, because that really is a lot of work. And I'll just say it wasn't terrible where I wanted to turn off my TV at any point. Honestly, it wasn't. But it was kind of lowbrow entertainment. You know, it's like, there's a couple good scenes. My favorite scene, I think, of the whole movie was the dojo fight between him and his boss, the karate guy. Okay, yeah. So to set it up, like this guy, he's a middle, how old is this guy? Mid to late 40s is basically the character. Okay, so which is also extremely highly unlikely that this guy's 49, he's going to fight this fight in those, you know, against the greatest striker in the game at the moment, who is played by one of the greatest strikers in the UFC, Edson Barbosa.
Yep.
Okay. And a 30-year-old Edson Barbosa is not going to lose. The guy literally, okay, I won't go there. We'll talk about the final fight later, because that gets ridiculous. But the part I liked was, okay, so this guy, another crazy thing is like the whole movie, this guy's like, he has a family and stuff and a home, but he's like still mopping the floors at the gym. It's just, come on, dude. Get some deeper writing than that.
You know? I know.
You know, he's 40-something years old. He's really, what, are you working for peanuts? There's nobody at the gym. He's always on the gym floor with like a broom or something. And someone walks into the gym. No one's in there. It's like, you can't make that much money. Yeah. Like, you're wasting your time. Like, either teach jiu-jitsu or go get a real job. Like, he was literally just cleaning up the mats at this karate dojo, right? And he was getting these, this is the main guy, Mickey Kelly, he's getting like these privates. So all these karate guys started like, you know, hey, they kind of caught on, right? This guy fights. So the story is, to go back, the guy fights when he's younger and he loses, right? And he loses by a cheap shot. So he knocks him out of the game. Like, he makes a comeback, but in the final fight against Edson Barbosa, right? He gets cheap shotted right off the bat and gets cold clocked and basically just pummeled, and he loses. So it knocks him out of the game. So many years, the whole premise of the movie is many years later, obviously he's going to get his revenge. That's the whole storyline, right? He's going to be older. He's going to come back. He's going to somehow make it happen. Well, in the meantime, he's teaching at this karate school. Like, so I kind of see where they were going with that, because that did happen a lot back in the early 90s, right? You know, there's not a lot of established gyms, jiu-jitsu gyms. So even the gym we come from, Gustavo taught out of like different MMA gyms. And,
for sure. Yeah.
That's what you got to do. You find a space and you just start training people. And that's kind of what this guy was doing. But the guy he worked for was a younger striker. I guess karate was his specialty. And he didn't like anything that the guy was doing with jiu-jitsu on the side, right? And he finds Mickey teaching a few of his students in one scene some jiu-jitsu. And these guys are all about it because they had seen his video, right? The video of him competing back in his younger days kind of got leaked. So now these people are on to him. They know he can do jiu-jitsu, even though he's in his late 40s. And the kids, he's like, the karate instructor comes in, the young guy, he's a punk. He's got spiked hair, of course. He looks like a total asshole. You know, they got that part right. And he comes in and he gets pissed off. And basically Mickey just said, no, we don't want any trouble. I'm just going to have these kids go. So he makes the kids leave the dojo. Mickey does, because they kind of went to his side now. They're going to train jiu-jitsu. And as he's going out, he lets the kids out and he does the old classic, locks the door with him on the inside. And it's okay, it's on. He turns around and, you know, he's not going to beat up this guy in front of the kids. So he lets the kids out and he's going to, you know, teach this young punk a lesson. The kids are looking in the window now and basically they start fighting, right?
He tells him
what he's going to do. He tells him, that was cool. I'm telling you, I like this part. I actually like this part. It was one of the best parts of the movie. Tells him exactly what he's going to do. He's told the karate guy he's going to close the distance. I don't remember.
I'm going to take you down. I'm going to choke you out.
I'm going to take your back. I'm going to choke you out and make you tap. And then after that, we're going to get up and do it all over again. And that's exactly what he did. So in that scene was good.
Yeah, I agree.
Good jiu-jitsu. Yep. Good. They were perfect. The guy had no chance. I'm glad they didn't like give him a chance, you know, where – like typical movie, you got this guy doing something stupid. No, the jiu-jitsu won out straight away.
Yeah.
Like, he just crushed him with jiu-jitsu. And then he gets up, he does it again. Two times in a row, just like he said. Perfect. Great scene.
And then he grabs his bag.
Then he grabs his bag.
Grabs his bag. Takes off. And he's out.
Yep. Okay. That was a good scene.
That
was only one of two that I wrote down that was good.
You know what I really wanted? I wanted more violence.
Yeah.
I wanted more like jiu-jitsu violence. Like, there wasn't enough violence. It's a rated R movie.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
so
there wasn't at all. It was super easy watch.
I think that the only reason it probably got rated R is because there was a couple F bombs in there. But
crazy.
Yeah, there's no rated R movie. Really. So you're a rated R movie, and I wanted more violence, mm-hmm. because I didn't like hate the antagonist. And if you're gonna make a martial arts movie, like I hated Tom Poe.
Yeah.
Like I hated Tom Poe's whole crew, you know,
yeah.
Like I hate it. Like every single martial arts movie, I like hated all of the bad guys, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted them to lose.
You know why? Because this guy didn't really, the antagonist in this was just another fighter.
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything personal to him. Really? I mean,
he just,
you
want to
hate somebody?
You know,
yeah,
I know,
yeah, exactly.
I know.
Have the guy come after your family or something.
Yeah,
you
know, absolutely.
Be
yeah.
dangerous to some extent, or, you know, almost kill you or something like
yep.
that. But this was just an MMA fighter and Edson Barbosa who, let's be frank, it wasn't that great of an acting performance.
No, I mean, no, it wasn't.
He didn't, I mean, he didn't really say much more than 5 to 10 words, I don't think, in the whole movie, but.
And probably got paid yeah. more than he gets for
yeah.
from the UFC
yeah,
for
he's
a fight.
An actor
you
now.
Know?
Yeah. I mean, his kicks look good right away.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they got a good kicker in here,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. So I wanted more jiu-jitsu violence. Like, I wanted to, like, hate the guy. Mm-hmm. I wanted to hate the antagonist, and I didn't.
Yeah.
So then when it came down to, like, the revenge and the final fights and all that type stuff, I was like, oh, man, like, eh, you know, like,
yeah,
it was a little
anticlimactic.
It was a little anticlimactic because I wasn't bought into Mickey Kelly,
mm-hmm.
like being the guy, and then I didn't hate the antagonist.
Yeah,
so it was like, I just wanted more of that stuff.
Yeah,
so well, I think that
you wanted more 80s.
I did want more 80s. I wanted
softer times here, bro.
I wanted a cheesy martial arts movie.
Where people
is like,
got thrown through the windows.
That's right. All jujitsu.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted. This is almost exactly what I wanted. Mickey Kelly, secret CIA operative working down in Brazil. Who. Very first scene. Him and his crew. They go in on some operation that they're working on and get their freaking clocks cleaned. Mickey Kelly. Is the only guy that survived. Like, it shows him. So here's how you get in the rest of his backstory. It shows him and his whole crew getting their clocks cleaned on this operation. And him at the same time that he's pulling all of his guys out, flashing back to Desert Storm, pulling his guys out.
There you go.
Right. So boom. Mm-hmm. And he's in Brazil and all he hears about is this jiu-jitsu that just all these guys just like they just cleaned up the CIA operatives with it, right? So then what does he do? He goes and finds, you know, the place where they're actually training. The people find out that he's training jiu-jitsu, so they get mad at the original the family that's training him. They get pissed that they're training an American,
yeah,
jiu-jitsu, right? So now, so not only that, but he falls in love with one of the daughters one of the creators of jiu-jitsu.
I like this,
so
this
instant
version.
Love story,
mm-hmm.
right? So then here's what happens: then the antagonist,
yeah,
one of two things: they either he goes against Mickey Kelly's trainer and breaks his neck, and he can't walk. So
damn.
Now. Because they're
you need
trained
to write a screenplay, bro.
Dude, I'm telling, if there is a producer that is listening to this, I've got tons of ideas on how to make this happen. Breaks his neck in a triangle.
We can
choke.
Make a movie.
We might have to explore that option. Or girl gets
or
kidnapped.
We can, yeah. There you go.
It's classic.
Mm-hmm.
It's classic. Or why not both? You know?
Well, in this movie. They were so in love, they got married in an auto garage.
Oh, here we go. I know.
Oh, my God. It's just, come on, dude. Come on.
Well, that was the other part that I was really disappointed about. They
and
killed
Taco
off the wife.
Was the guy that married him.
I know. They killed
so
him
his,
off in an auto crash. Like, what an
spoiler
awful
alert.
Way. Like, what an
I
awful.
Know. And it was like deep into the movie.
It came out of nowhere, and it
yeah.
didn't have anything to do with,
no.
like, if you're going to kill her off, like, kill her off.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
have one of the bad guys kill her.
Exactly. Exactly my point.
Now
I'm
he's
glad.
Just depressed.
I know.
It's nobody's fault.
I was so disappointed, and they killed her off in an auto accident. And I was like, oh my gosh, man. Like, what a waste.
I know.
What a waste. So then he falls in, you know. So here's, how do we fix it? There has to be a part two, right?
I don't know.
You know my ideas on this.
Everything has to be more legit. So they have to do more research, more appropriate time. Like, it just has to be more money put into it so you can have real, to make a real good movie. You know, like the best movies, they're like time pieces, you know, like Gangs of New York, stuff like that, where it draws you into that time period. You know, this did none of that. It literally, like you said, it was all 2020, but they kind of tried to make it like it was 1990. There was a part where this part was ridiculous for two reasons. He's in the gym again, sweeping, like doing nothing. he's just there.
Those are the cleanest mats in all of jiu-jitsu.
And his buddy who's about to open a gym, a wrestling gym, brings in this guy. And he's like, he's training for his first MMA fight, whatever. He needs some experience, you know, he's a good wrestler. What did he say? He's a good grappler, but I need to, you know, I just want to put him in with you, you know, get a couple rolls in. He brings this young kid in, right? So Mickey's friend, his old friend, this dude, brings in one of his guys just to train with Mickey before his next MMA fight or whatever, his next big fight. They train and they start rolling, doing jiu-jitsu. This guy gets demolished so you got a young 20-something-year-old, pretty big dude, look like a medium heavyweight guy. Yeah. And he's doing jiu-jitsu against this Mickey, you know, the star of the show. Okay. Mickey just wipes the floor with him every which way. The guy looks like he has no clue what he's doing. And after he gets up, and the guy's kind of flustered and mad, the kid, but he's not disrespectful. He just leaves. He's like, I'll see you outside, to his coach. And the coach looks at Mickey and he's like, you knew who that was? That guy won Brazilian nationals this year. And right there, I was like, come on.
Get out of here.
This guy didn't know any jiu-jitsu at all. And that's doing a disservice to Brazilians.
I agree.
In Brazil, in Brazilian nationals, because they've been good for a long time.
Yep.
Jiu-jitsu has always been great over there in Brazil and Brazilian nationals. You're not having people win Brazilian nationals that don't know jiu-jitsu, which was crazy. It was just a stupid thing to put in the movie, in my opinion. And this is supposed to be in the early 90s. And this is one of my favorite parts. Obviously, you'll know why, but he wears like brand new Fuji gis.
Yeah. I know.
He's got a designer Atama and Fuji gi on in the movie. And it's like, those brands existed back then, but they were big old baggy, giant gis. Like, all you got to do is look at Hoist. In the UFC. That's the gi from 1992.
Yep.
So he's got these tailored Fuji gis with a new Fuji logo. I'm like, come on. You couldn't even get an old gi? Like, come on. How do you make this movie, write the movie? And then unless it was just like, hey, Fuji, I'm going to put you in this movie. Give me some new gis next year or something.
Yeah.
It's like an advertisement for Fuji gis, but... That part, I was like, oh my God, dude, he's not even wearing an older gi.
Yeah.
Like, honestly. So you had to kind of overlook some of these things the whole movie, which just makes the whole thing suspect, but you know.
Did you go through all the credits?
Was there something I missed?
There was, yeah.
There was an extra piece?
There was an extra piece. It wasn't much. It wasn't much.
I could have swore I fast forwarded through them just because. I never do this. I'm like, I wonder if there's more, because the ending.
It there wasn't much. It was just like, I don't know if it was him rolling with his son, but it was like a black and white video of like him rolling with, I don't know if it was the same. I don't know if that little boy that it's in the movie is like really his son or what.
Oh, okay.
But it was just him rolling with some little kid training jiu-jitsu. I don't know.
Huh.
That was all it was.
It could be his son. Yeah. You never know. The final fight scene though. How about the hands down technique? Let's talk about that.
Oh, I wanted to bring that up. What's he doing? He's hiding his hands, so he
hiding
can't tap.
His hands. He's hiding his hands. How do you not get your hands out?
His hip pressure is that deadly.
Oh my God! Come on.
So for the listeners, what he would do is he would take his back.
This is like the final. You know, every fight scene has. It's like the Karate Kid doing the flying crane kick.
Yeah.
It's like this is his special thing.
This is his thing. It kind of go. You see it a couple times throughout the movie. He basically will like go through and he'll take his back and he'll have like both of his arms in, grabbing the person's forearms and flatten him out, and then he'll pull his forearms out and just rear naked choke him. Mm-hmm. So I think the idea was that he was like so heavy and you're like belly down on the mats that you can't get your arms out. And but that was, they would say like, oh, he hides his hands so the person can't defend or tap out. And
yeah. Okay. There was actually like a Bernardo video within the last month or two, or some video I saw, and I kind of sent it to a couple of my friends because it's just a joke, but it said the most painful position in all of jiu-jitsu. And it's having your back taken with belly down, flattened out, spread eagle, spread the chicken is what it was called on the video. I think it was on BJJ Fanatics. Not a good spot you want to be in.
At all.
I get it. So that's the spot we're talking about, except your arms are underneath your body. Okay. Now, okay, I can see that would happen. That could happen where you get your arms underneath the body. Somebody's trapping you there, and that's a move. If the guy's bigger, I think he would probably have to be bigger and stronger.
Yeah.
What I don't get is the most hilarious thing was that he had the guy's back. He was on his back, and he was going to choke him with no problem. And he's like, I'm going to turn him over just to put him in this worst position. That is just, to me, was so funny because it's like, that's not really in jiu-jitsu. It's like, I'm going to give up this arm bar so I can put him in a twister.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm going to put him in something worse. So I'm going to, you know, you're going to choke him out either way.
Absolutely.
It's not going to be pretty, you know? And that they, and you know, the girl or whoever screams, he's turning him over so he can't tap. I'm like, oh my God.
Yep.
Have you heard of verbal tap? Like what are we saying here? What are we doing here? This is the dumbest. So that part just, I obviously that was the end of the movie, close to it, but that lost me. I was like, come on, dude. You had to leave that in. Like you just had to, you know, you're about to tap him out. You got his back and now you give up the tap. I'm going to give up this position to turn him over and tuck his arms under his body where this stud 30-year-old super freak athlete's not going to be able to get his arms out or bump up or anything. Come on. It was just so unrealistic and stupid.
It was pretty unrealistic. So it was so bad.
That's the part where I was like, oh, they almost made it the whole movie without totally jumping the shark. But that part I was like, come on, dude.
Yeah. And you're in. He was also blind.
We failed to mention important thing is that he was guided.
Yeah.
In the last round of the final fight, he was guided to the guy by his corner. Just tell me which way.
Just guide me there.
And this guy is still a stud striker and somehow he gets in on him and takes him down. Oh my God. The blind thing. Yeah. So what happened in the final fight? Let's see. They stand him up. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
For no reason. So they get stood up. That's totally shady. You find out the ref is somewhat involved or something. Then the bell rings. It had all the classics, you know? He's beating him and then the bell rings.
Yeah.
And that saves the guy. It's like, okay, there's two. How many cheesy? Like, can't we just make a movie where at the end, the guy just goes in and kicks his fucking ass and be done with it? That'd be more satisfying to me. It's like, just go in there and show that this, you did your due diligence. You trained. You went back in there. No, we have to do a fake stand up. Then we have to do Saved by the Bell. Then the guy gets blinded. Then he goes out and he's blind. He's gone through all this and he still doesn't want to win. He wants to turn the guy over and put his arms underneath him to punish him.
Yeah. And the other piece is, you know, his wife made his wife, before she passed away, made Taco promise that, remember, she made him promise that he would throw in the towel.
Oh, that's,
you know, this
right.
whole.
Yeah.
So now we've gone through all these iterations, the stand up, mm-hmm. the bad stand up, the Saved by the Bell.
That's true.
Things are not looking very good for Mickey Kelly in this fight. And just tell me, just walk me in, guide me in. And gets in on the guy.
It happened.
Gets in on the guy, hides his hands, gets the choke.
That's it.
That's it.
That's the end.
That's the end of the movie.
Big time spoiler alert. So now you guys can all go out and listen, watch the movie and have fun.
Well, what I'm wondering is if in the next couple weeks, if you're going to start seeing some hand hiding on the mats.
I'm going to try it. I'm going to definitely try it. I'm thinking right now, how can I get this done? Oh, next time I get someone's bath, I'm just going to not even go for it. I'm just going to figure out a new way to sweep them back over to the other side. Or maybe we're working on some turtle stuff right now. Maybe that's what I'll do, is I'll implement.
There you go.
Flattening someone out from the turtle, getting their back, flatten them out. You're already halfway there. And just finding a way to tuck their arms under. Yeah.
So is there a sequel?
No. There's got to be maybe a remake, maybe a rewrite. He messed it up.
You know that I want a sequel. I've told you who the star of the sequel is going to be, right?
The star?
I have spent way too much time thinking. You clearly I have spent way too much time thinking about this.
You need to go watch the movie again.
Dude, I watched that movie. So for the listeners, I was watching this movie and I'm literally like, I think it was like 10 or 10:30 at night, and I'm 15 minutes into this movie and I'm like, I have to text Paul. But it was like 10:30 at night and I was like, yeah, he's probably sleeping. So that, like, the next morning at like 8 or 9 a.m., like right when I was like, okay, I know he's awake, I'm sending him a text. Like, dude, you have got to watch this movie.
What'd I tell you? It got great reviews. You're like, what? Are you serious? I was like, yeah.
Even
got
when
like 7.9.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Even when you were like, it got great reviews, it's like, well, is that the tomato meter or is that
right.
the audience
Critics.
Review? You know?
Yeah.
Like is so I think there needs to be a sequel. And I think that it needs to involve, I think Ashton Kutcher is the star of the sequel. He,
okay.
It's perfect. It's
yeah.
perfect. The little boy, right?
The little boy.
Little boy is Ashton Kutcher's.
Mm-hmm.
He grows up, you know, and you
yep.
just fall, like now you've got the backstory. You can essentially rewrite the series and just like scrap. The first movie, you've got this mythical Mickey Kelly character.
Yeah.
That has this crazy backstory, but you can now you can rewrite the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
yeah,
Ashton,
because Mickey would go back.
Yeah.
He'd fight one more time and something would happen to him. He'd die.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they'd have a narrator in the second one. And I don't know who it's going to be. John Donahue.
It better. Oh, man.
John Donahue is the narrator, and he narrates how Mickey had died, and then this kid comes up and somehow he finds the Machados and he starts training with Heegan Machado. Yeah. And they tell the whole story about Ashton. No one knew, but he was literally this guy's son, and he became no one knew he had these skills, but he hid him all these years, but because he was just acting.
Yeah.
And then like in 2016, he just came out. He's like, I'm a blue belt. And he still couldn't tie his belt. And then he got his purple belt and he still couldn't tie his belt. And then brown belt came. He still had a white belt tie. And
so, dude, this is using Ashton Kutcher for this role, it could literally catch up the movies to where our current times are. Like, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, you can make Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu versus American Jiu-Jitsu now. I'm telling you.
Yep.
You make this character, I've told you the name before, mm-hmm. Tegan Lornelius. Ashton Kutcher's character, Tegan Lornelius, goes to Brazil.
There you go.
You know, he goes there, he gets his ass handed to him.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back, he wants to go down there and fight again. He gets up with his dad, Mickey Kelly, for one more camp. His dad is like, no, I can't do it. I promised your mom that I would never fight again.
Yep.
Anyway, Finchley signs on. Now you've got American Jiu-Jitsu versus Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and you've got that whole drama.
There you go.
Now here you go. Here's the third. Here's the third movie. Insert, you know, the character can be Teddy Lardo, the creator of, you know, 10th Schmanet Jiu-Jitsu. And now you've got like,
yeah, you just have Jiu-Jitsu wars.
Absolutely. Now it just becomes like
one after another,
and they start bombing each other's schools.
You'll see more movies.
I hope so.
Right? I mean, you almost have to, because look how many kickboxing movies there were and karate movies.
I know.
That's just because those martial arts were famous. Jiu-Jitsu is more famous than anything.
I know.
There's got to be more and more people making movies about it, you know? Even cheesy ones. There's two this year. We got to watch Jiu-Jitsu. I heard there's no Jiu-Jitsu in that movie.
That's what I heard. With
Nicolas Cage, which is hilarious to me. Somebody allowed this to. Like, I don't
Nobody
understand
on the set.
I don't understand how
it's
that.
It's an alien
happens.
Movie, dude. There's like aliens involved in this. Like.
Okay. That's the next time we do
that. We
got to
break
review.
That down.
I don't
We got to break that one down that one. And just.
Obviously, the best would be Keanu. He'd be the best guy to have, like, take his whole.
The John Wick thing.
Yeah, take John Wick just completely out of it. The guy's an awesome actor. He totally knows the martial art. That would be like a legit dude that could do a real movie. Like, they need a real movie. If they're going to, you know, they're going to keep making these cheesy ones, we got to at least in our lifetime see a great jiu-jitsu movie.
That's
like,
what
legitimate.
I think.
Yeah.
And the
but
thing was.
But you'd have to have so many people involved that are like, just can't let this shit pass by, you know, just some of this cheesy. It was just a cheesy attempt. And this guy's been around a long time that made this movie. I mean, he's
got like a bunch of stripes on his black belt. It's not
he's been
around
the
block.
But like I said before, it's hard to make a movie.
Yeah. I mean,
to be all accurate like that and to be, I mean, it's probably took everything he had just to make this.
Yeah.
This thing that, you know, what came out of it. And like I said, it wasn't, I told you before, I was like, to the naked eye, to the normal person's eye, it's an entertaining, like, people would want to see this movie. They're not going to turn it off. You know, if you don't know anything about jiu-jitsu or the history, you wouldn't know one way or another. You know, it's just like, it's a feel good story about this old dude getting one over on the man, you know, on the young guy, but deeper, just watching it, knowing jiu-jitsu and knowing it's, I don't know. They always go too far in movies, in my opinion now. You know, it's just too cheesy. It's too dumbed down. You know, that's just how movies are right now. Just like the wedding thing in the shop. Those are so stupid to me.
Well, the thing
who's going to get married in a garage where they're working on cars? You know, especially not these people.
For sure.
This guy, like, the girl was, you know, a beautiful woman. She wasn't some grease monkey that lived in a garage.
No.
You know, she's not going to allow that. Nor would you want to. It's just dumb. Like, stupid stuff like that. It's like, oh, let's show how romantic and how much they're in love. They just go back and Taco marries them right there in the garage.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, is that there's so much drama in the history of jiu-jitsu. Like, you don't even need to make up a story.
No.
Like, just insert some little side thing into, like, you know, some previous history, like taking back to the 50s, like, you know, something like that, you know?
You can make a mega hit. You can make many series that last 10 years each just with the Gracie family.
Oh, for sure.
just go down some of those family trees of infighting and drama and championships and
yep.
loss and destruction of whatever, you know. I mean, there's so many in that family that are so, it's just been so pivotal to the sport and the art.
Yeah.
There's just so many real stories out there to tell, you know, and that's what this, you know, this guy was kind of basing it on some loose stuff that really did happen. I think, you know, like with the Saudis and having an interest and, but I don't know. It didn't meet the grade in terms of the greatest martial art movies. That's for damn sure.
No. And I'm fine with the cheesy. Just make it. I'm fine with the cheesy. It was disappointing to me. I'm not gonna lie, it was disappointing to me. And you know, you were
expecting
that?
Way too much.
I guess.
See, I look at those movies as they're all, to me, even the best ones were all cheese. Like once, if you look deeply into them, I mean, they all got some of that to them. You know, I mean, it's a martial arts movie.
Well, I wanted the cheese. You know what I mean? Like, I want that. I want like a violent but great jiu-jitsu yeah. martial arts movie. Like, dude, I mean, you can
this
never.
This was too feel good.
It was way too feel good. Yeah. Like, you know,
not
when
enough violence, like you said.
When he, you know, Van Damme gets the salt or whatever it was thrown in his eyes, you know, and he's like looking around, and then he starts being able to like feel where his punch is. Like, I'm okay with that. I like yeah. that stuff. But man. I just wanted more jiu-jitsu, and I wanted more violence.
Yeah.
Part two. He did the, you know, the very end, the as the credits roll, did you see the thing? He's like, this is my letter to jiu-jitsu. My yeah. love letter to jiu-jitsu is like, props, man. Like, you spent, he's Sean Patrick Flannery, he spent a long time doing jiu-jitsu, and he wanted to do he wanted to do a solid by the community. Sean, if you're listening, you can do better.
It was a good attempt.
It was a good attempt, but you can do better.
Yeah. Maybe a little more budget, a little more time. Get some of the, to me, I like authenticity, so.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's like, if you're going to make a guy in the 90s training jiu-jitsu, have him have a shitty, dirty white gi and, you know, like, make it look real.
Dude, did you see those, like, they had, like, the those gyms had like the really nice plank tatami mats, the ones like I've got, you know, it was like with a different color, you know, they've got like I think it was like a blue ring around black mats. It was like I was like, man, those are some nice mats. There's no way that existed in that time.
No, you had to like suspend
puzzle mats or wrestling mats or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. You had to really look past a lot of that. Cause there's just, you know, there's one point where there's like, I think he pulls up in a VW bug, and Taco's got a VW bus. Like, they made it the effort to like get a couple old crappy VWs, and then behind it, it's like a brand new truck across the street in somebody's driveway. <Yeah. laughs> Like, what is going on? It's supposed to be like 1991. I'm like, what? It's just so confusing. Like, just get that right. Like, who directed this? Where's the director of cinematography?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it was 2 hours long.
Yeah, it was a long movie. It was it was definitely a long movie. There was I just wanted it so bad.
Yeah, well, next
so
time.
I'm still longing for it. So
there'll be more.
I hope so, man. I hope
hopefully we have some great filmmakers training jiu-jitsu now, and they'll get motivated. And okay, update. So 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb. Born a Champion, starring Sean Patrick Flannery.
6.3 on IMDb. Is it out of 10? Please tell me it's out of 10.
It's out of 10. Yep.
That's like a D. I'd probably give it a D.
Yeah.
C minus is like,
I'd say a C minus.
Just for like the, you could argue the C minus just for like the scene against the karate guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would probably pass him. Like if I were a teacher, I'd be like, man, I'll pass you. The only reason I'm passing you is so I don't have to deal with you next semester. It was a good effort. And it was well thought out. Execution was just not bad, not good.
Says here, Flannery wrote the original story for Born a Champion back in 2007 and developed it into a screenplay in 2016 with the help of another man. So, okay, well.
We need to find out.
They can only get better from here unless we watch Jiu-Jitsu next with Nick Cage.
Well, I think that's what we have to do just based on its name. I think that we're not going to get any jujitsu in that movie.
No. But it might not even be worth it. But next time we'll warn our audience to listen. They can do a listening party with us. And next time a jujitsu, something good comes out, we'll have people listen, then we'll do a review down the road a little bit. So if you're listening to this one today, pause, hit pause, go watch this movie. It's worth watching.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like $4 or $5 on Amazon to rent it.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
you know, totally worth it.
It was worth watching. Wes totally spoiled it for me. He was just, like, stop giving me spoiler alerts, man. I got to have my own opinion on this video, this movie. You just couldn't wait.
I couldn't
wait to tear into it.
I've been waiting for this episode for.
I need to go watch some of the classics now. I need to go back and watch like Kickboxer. And I haven't seen those movies in so long.
Oh, they're so good. With Dennis Alessio.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, those are just, I love those movies, those Kickboxer movies.
Yeah.
They're so good.
That was the shit back then.
Absolutely.
Like in our time, yeah. There wasn't anything like those. Now at least you have like real, the problem is too, is now we have real entertainment that's like that.
Yeah.
MMA, you know, we have real fights. Where when Kickboxer came out, stuff like that, it's like, you never saw that stuff. Even if you were into martial arts, you didn't get to see that. Where are you going to go? It was never on TV like that. You'd have to be in the scene or go see live fights.
Yeah.
And, you know, to just see legitimate fights, not anything like those, you know, blood sport or anything crazy. But that's what made it crazy, because back then it was like, oh, this is like this underground.
Oh, yeah.
Thing, you know, and.
Yeah.
But
Master Zian. Master Zian, and he took him out to the jungle, and he's kicking down banana trees.
Oh yeah.
tries to give up. They put him in the split machine where they like pulled on those ropes and it made him do the splits.
Yeah.
Dude, brute. See, there you go. Savage training.
Some real drama.
Savage training. Just brutal. And those guys, that's the same thing. They, you know, they kidnapped the girl. The girl. As he's in the final fight, you know, they're like running some operation with that cab driver.
Yeah.
That's
a good point. That's why those movies were all, if you think about it, all those movies had like a death aspect to it.
Yeah.
You know?
I hated all the
Steven Seagal movies, they all had like real danger, you know, this one wasn't. So I think you just have like a softer movie in general. It's like you try to make this antagonist, but it's just another MMA guy across the, you know, another guy fighting. But in those movies, it was all about killing people and death and the threat of being killed and that type of thing.
Yeah. Oh man, that scene where they dip their knuckles in the glass. Ugh. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They
dip
their knuckles.
It's been so long since I watched those movies. So long. I used to watch them all the time back then, though.
And like Tom Poe, he dips his knuckles in the glass and then he licks the glass.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Ridiculous.
Dude, just I just hated that guy.
Yeah. Classic.
Classic. Anyway, it's a good movie. I thought it's an okay movie. You know, it's
C minus. We agree.
So I think round two is going to be a lot better.
Yep. Especially if you read the screenplay. We'll make that happen.
Starring Ashton Kutcher.
I know a couple movie makers, but they're just not in the jiu-jitsu world. We need to find somebody that's...
Dude, we do.
A creative, you know?
If you're listening to this podcast and you write movies or if you have any pull in Hollywood...
There you go.
You know, you just send this on over. I basically gave everybody the script that was going to work, you know? Like... I mean, you can get two movies.
What more do they want? You gave them everything they need.
I know. Just
put it together.
Put it
do
together.
Do it in a couple weeks.
You know?
Make a great movie.
Yeah, you That's can so film two and three, like, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You know, catch everybody up. We've got 10th Planet. We've got American Jiu-Jitsu. Now we've got Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I mean, we're basically caught up, so.
Big time. What's going on in the real world of Jiu-Jitsu? With you? Everything going good?
Yeah, training? Man, everything's good. Training. Yeah, no complaints. Training, enjoying it. And
that's good.
I sent you, I guess something big did happen lately. I striped somebody recently.
Oh, cool.
So I think I sent you the video on student
guy, the guy's little stripe promotion.
Yeah.
In your pod.
Yep.
Cool.
So you know, he's been putting in a lot of work. I know eventually things will open back up, and honestly, man, he's turning into a handful. So
there you go.
You know, he's shown a lot of progress. We've been training 3-4 months now. And consistent, like clockwork. So I know eventually he's going to go back to a gym, and he deserved a stripe, man. He's been working hard, and like I was saying, just a real handful, and so he deserved a stripe.
Nice. Congrats on that.
So what about you?
Just training, you know, having fun. That's pretty much it.
That's how it should be.
Loving it, yeah. Just taking it easy.
You're going teaching on Wednesdays.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been showing some stuff on Wednesdays. That's been fun. Just puts my head in a different space, and been doing some turtle attacks, how to break down the turtle, showing some loop chokes tomorrow. This week, I'm showing some crucifix entries from there that I like to do. So, turtles, it's one of those things like you could literally attack anything from a turtle. Anything. You could spend the whole year on it, you know. I mean, any direction you can attack the turtle, any submission, they're all right there. I mean, you're basically just, and most people that are turtling up, they're not playing that to be, it's not their main guard.
Yeah.
It's more of a protective state of, I gotta survive real quick and try to get a different guard back.
Yep.
And that, but that's why it's great to start attacking at that point in time, you know. So it's fun. Been showing some of that stuff, and that's it. And the in terms of on the national scene, I would say one of the things I caught hold of over the weekend was, I didn't get to watch too much, but I watched some clips. But Fight to Win, who's one of both of our, we really like that organization, but they had an all female event, which is actually a really huge point in time in jiu-jitsu advancement, to be honest.
Yep. You know,
I mean, they had all females on this card. It was, I think, probably 30 to 40, 50 competitors, I think they have on those cards. I mean, you probably have a dozen matches, and, you know, 10 matches in each belt. So I think there's at least a few dozen ladies competing, and it was like hugely successful.
That's awesome.
Super good fights. Entertaining all the way. Every time I've ever watched females compete on the big stage, it's been awesome fights.
Yeah.
So it was great to see. And I think it's a little bit, hasn't been covered enough in the jiu-jitsu media community so much. You know, I didn't really see much on it. A couple like Jiu-Jitsu Times covered it, but that's a big, big, big time advancement in that.
Agreed.
Just to have a full and that many, there are so many ladies competing now. It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, they expanded, even IBJJF expanded all the masters divisions 2 years ago. You know, because everybody, I think after Master 3, women were all jumbled in together. And they basically got together and said, hey, we need more divisions. There's more of us competing now. And which is awesome. So yeah. Just as I'm always looking for ways the sport's growing and that I really wanted to mention that here because we fully support that. And it's awesome, man. I knew a couple people that competed on that card, but big, big time news for females, but also just advancement in women's sports. I mean, that's a big accomplishment.
Absolutely.
You're not seeing any full card UFC fights, you know, with all women. I mean, there's Invicta, so there's women's organizations, but in terms of the jiu-jitsu scene, this is the first time this has happened like this. So, and it was a huge success. So that was the big news in terms of what I've seen over the weekend. Other than that, you know, it's just waiting for the next big events to come up.
Yeah, I think we got in March. March, there's IBJJF in Dallas, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really the next big.
Yep. What's it's going to be Texas, Florida.
Yep.
That's pretty Texas much and Florida. Texas and Florida. I'm surprised they're not trying to do more in Arizona. It seems Arizona, Texas, and Florida are the three states where stuff's open.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of like, I mean, comedy clubs are open here, restaurants here in Arizona. So why not competitions? They've had some local, you know, they just had one over the weekend at Victorium, which really? Is in Scott. Who, yeah. Which is was a, that? It was Naga.
Naga.
It was a Naga event.
I think March, I think actually, now that I think about it, I think March in Arizona, there is a Jiu-Jitsu World League, maybe?
Yes.
They're coming back in March, maybe?
I believe so. It's either here March or in Vegas. I think they moved one of them to Vegas, but I can't remember. But yeah, I know there's one of those coming up. But yeah, so I'm surprised they're not doing more IBJJFs here, or at least do one or two, because I don't know. Gives people on the West Coast a little bit closer of a haul to compete.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see
everybody
that
else is coming here.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the three states, places people are moving to, honestly.
Yep.
You know, they're leaving California in droves, leaving New York in droves, and just heading New Yorkers going down to Florida or wherever, somewhere you can open up. Texas is getting an influx of people. But Arizona, like, it's crazy here. They're, I heard the statistic the other day on how many people are moving here every week, but I can't even recall it, so I'm not going to say it. But it's a lot. I was shocked. The housing market here is, you cannot find a home here, so it's crazy. Like, people just come in with California money, and they're just, you know, they sell down their home over there for $1 million, and they buy this, you know, buying a $700,000 house here, and it's like for them, chump change, and they're getting this huge house, you know, and that's what's happening. I mean, I'm somewhat tied. I have loved ones that work in that business, and it's like, you know, you can't, if you want a home, you have to go in with at least the asking price and probably more, or you're not even going to get sniffed on.
Yeah.
You know, sniffed out. So that's what the reality is. And that's just because so many people are moving here. So.
Couple years.
It's good to
man.
Have an open state. Yeah. You'll be looking.
I'm going to be looking.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here regretting selling our house down there. I just sat on it.
Yeah.
You know, rented it.
Yeah. But it was, you were kind of under the gun.
Yeah.
Your options were. So
pretty much. So that's all right. I'll get back.
Be back to it.
Yep.
So for homework, everyone, Born a Champion review episode. We went lighthearted. Yeah.
Give us your feedback.
We just wanted to have a fun episode to talk about it. This jiu-jitsu movie. Go check it out. We want to see what you all think about it. See if maybe we were too critical or not critical enough. But you'll see this week. We'll put some posts up about the movie. And feel free to chime in because, you know, we talk about it offline, but we're just trying to create a community here. So,
yeah,
we don't always just want to talk about super strict, very rigid ideas surrounding jiu-jitsu. You know, we want to kind of open it up and look at some of the, you know, societal impacts of jiu-jitsu and also, you know, how others view jiu-jitsu and, you know. So we thought this would be a fun one just to review this. Obviously, if you haven't seen it, you got to go check it out or not. You just take our advice, but
that's right.
It's definitely worth, I think I got it through Amazon Prime. It was like $3 or $4.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth the rent because it's got jiu-jitsu in it. So that's at least right. you can love it or hate it, but you're going to, you know, either you're going to like some of the jiu-jitsu parts or be super critical, but it was a little bit of both for me. But it's good to see it
on the big screen,
the mainstream, yeah.
And supporting somebody that took the time and
for sure.
He made the effort, he took the risk.
He made the effort. It just didn't hold up to some of those great martial art movies that we loved as kids. But yeah, he'll get another shot maybe.
That's right.
All right, cool, buddy.
Dude.
On to the next one.
That's right, man.
We'll see you guys next week. Have a safe week of training, and we're out of here. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Road to Black podcast. Once again, please support our sponsors, the BJJ Physio. Contact Wes. He'll hook you up with some customized programming for your game. Take it to the next level. Therapy, performance, the BJJ Physio. Also, Roll Union Jiu-Jitsu. Check out the latest styles, jiu-jitsu, casual wear, training gear. Check them out, rollunion.com. Follow on Instagram, @rollunion. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and we will see you next time.